It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Recommendations for affordable housing, transportation, civil rights, jobs, and economic development were shared by the Center on Wisconsin Strategy in their report, A Pittsburgh That Works for Working People. The results were discussed during a forum at the August Wilson Center earlier this week, on Monday, in fact, among a panel of experts. Two of them are joining us now in studio. Sam Williamson is the Western Pennsylvania Director of the 32BJ Service Employees International Union. Sam Williamson, good to have you with us.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Also joining us is Reverend Rodney Lide. He's president of the Pennsylvania Interfaith Impact Network and pastor of the Homewood Baptist Church. Reverend Lide, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Again, the number 412-246-2002. One of the conclusions reached here is that Pittsburgh is seeing a rebirth, but that while tech startups and service sector jobs are filling the void left by the steel industry, good jobs are still needed. So the question is, what's missing and how do we create these jobs? Sam, we'll start with you.
Sure. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, what the data shows in the report is in some respects, what we all already know and feel living in Pittsburgh. Since the late 70s, incomes for the top 1% in Allegheny County have skyrocketed by over 150%, but incomes for everyone else, for the 99% of the rest of us, have actually gone down over that same period of time. It also, unfortunately, shows that those trends are worse for African Americans in Pittsburgh and Allegheny County than for white residents. And that's a lot of what we know, what we feel in our neighborhoods, what we know going to work every day in this city. The good news is that the report provides a whole set of recommendations for things that we can do about it, policies that we could work with the city or the county to adopt that can help to build a more balanced economy and a more equitable Pittsburgh for all of us.
Let me jump in and talk with Reverend Lide. Homewood is a community where there are challenges. The people there are underemployed, if they're employed at all. So we know a lot about what the problems are. Do people in Pittsburgh realize how difficult it is in some parts of this city for people to simply make a living, put a roof over their head, and put food on the table?
I think not enough people. I think the fact is that there are people who do understand the challenges that are affecting citizens in neighborhoods like Homewood. But by and large, it's not enough. And that's why this report is so important, because it gives us real information, data-based, by an objective outsider that has looked at us historically and looks at our trends, looks at the opportunity. And so the hope is that for those of us who've been engaged in this work to try to create equity, create opportunities for all, that now the report can help echo our voices for people. And in that regard, I mean, I would just add to what Sam shared. One of the things that's missing is the engagement of the widespread populace in Pittsburgh that many of us are aware, we know, but the reality is that the report shares with us we have an opportunity to really get engaged to bring about the changes that we want for all citizens.
Okay, and how do we do that? I mean, there's a problem. This exists not just in Pittsburgh, but in cities all over this country. And what we're seeing is, we hear these glowing unemployment figures. And by that, I mean that we see these reports that indicate that the unemployment rate is going down, that it is as low as it's been in a long time. But people still aren't able to make a living. Wages are being held down in cities across the United States and here in Pittsburgh. So how do you bring those up? How do you create a situation where people don't have to work multiple jobs to make ends meet?
So the jobs, you're right, the jobs that are growing most, not only in Pittsburgh, but all around the country, are low-wage service jobs that keep people in poverty. The median wage for a food service worker in Pittsburgh is under $10 an hour. The median wage for a retail worker in Pittsburgh is not even $12 an hour. And there are thousands upon thousands of workers who are working those jobs and and have to do exactly what you just said. They've got to work multiple jobs in order to put food on the table and take care of their families. One thing that's happening in Pittsburgh in enormous numbers is that workers are organizing. Workers are organizing in jobs and in industries all across the city to win collective bargaining rights and challenge their employers to do better by them.
Are they doing that successfully?
Yeah, so just last year in Pittsburgh, 1,000 security officers organized into our union and won their first ever union contract. The city and the county did some things, some of the very things that are recommended in this report, actually, to help set an example to those private sector employers and help to pave the way for the 1,000 security officers who work for 13 different companies across the city to raise their own levels of wage and benefits. So, for example, one of the recommendations of the report is that the city can use its own contracting power to help to raise standards and raise wages for workers. So in the security industry, for example, the city contracts with private companies to perform the security in the city, county building, and other buildings around the city. And so one of the things that Satya recommended is using those city contracts, those public contracts, to demand that employers in what are traditionally low-paying poverty wage jobs actually improve standards and pay people living wages and decent living.
And that's happening?
That has happened. So in Pittsburgh, the last time they put out put that work out to bid, they included wage standards in the RFP, wage standards that come directly from the existing service sector prevailing wage ordinance in the city of Pittsburgh. So that meant that, the 20 workers covered by that contract went from making $8 an hour with no health insurance to 12 with a fully paid employer benefit.
Does it help that Pittsburgh's a strong union town?
I mean, I think our history helps us. Our history helps us mostly, I think, because it reminds us what is actually possible, right? I mean, we didn't build a middle class here by accident. It was, a century ago, if you looked at the composition of the Pittsburgh economy, it looked very much like what today's economy looks like, except that the poverty wage jobs then were in the steel industry. It was only when workers organized and improved those jobs that we built a middle class in Pittsburgh. Today, we're faced with many of the same challenges. We've got a set of industries that are paying workers way too little, keeping workers in poverty. It happens that the majority of the workers who are in those low-wage jobs are African-American workers, which points to the issues of structural racism that we continue to deal with. But we know from our history that when supported by progressive elected officials with the right kinds of policies in place, workers can actually transform those jobs and our entire economy.
And I was going to ask you or suggest perhaps that the fact that you have a mayoral administration that's open to a lot of this must be in many ways helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that came up again and again in a number of these areas on Monday at the forum was the real moment of opportunity that we have in Pittsburgh right now. We have real challenges on affordable housing, but we are not yet Seattle or San Francisco or other cities where it is too late almost to make a difference and turn the tide.
Some would say we're getting close.
We are getting close, but we've got a moment of opportunity where if we act now, and this is one of the things that I think comes through in the report, if we act now, we can turn the tide. One of the things that adds to that moment of opportunity is the fact that there exists tremendous political will, both on Pittsburgh City Council and in the Peduto administration, to partner with organizations like ours and with like-minded people around the city to work aggressively to meet these challenges and make sure that we've got a Pittsburgh that works for everyone.
Reverend Rodney Lyde, are you seeing, some of the things that Sam is talking about that are improving for workers in this city? Is that starting to impact Homewood where you are?
Absolutely. I mean, the reality is we see them in our congregations, not only in Homewood, but when we think about PIN, which is a diverse organization that includes Christians and Jews, Muslims, Unitarians, and the whole gamut, the members who are in our pews are working. And so I think the difference I can see in particular is not just in Homewood, but for workers across the city. And as a community, which we represent, I think one of the important aspects is that we get off of the sidelines. I think one of the things that has helped in the movement is that the coalition includes not just workers who are fighting for better work conditions or fighting for better pay or fighting to make sure that they have affordable insurance, but when the community stands with them, because we represent a broad population within our city that can impact and help move issues. And so for me, I know this in particular because I have workers who work in the industries, right, who work in the hospitals, who work in service sector jobs. And it certainly makes a difference in real time when people are seeing the trend is moving toward workers having a better say, more of a say in what's happening in the workplace, and it's affecting their paychecks. We have some ways to go, but the reality is we are starting to see that shift.
Can you influence managers from the pulpit? I mean, when you talk about trying to spread the message of altruism and do unto others and treating your fellow man equally. Are people getting that message? Can they get that from you? And do you see a result of that, of your spreading that message?
Well, not enough yet, but that's why we have an organization like PEN. I mean, and it's not just what we say from the pews. It's also in our direct action work. And so we have a powerful coalition of lay people and leaders that that when we stand together with one voice, we can get into rooms with some of these managers and leaders and to help bring that influence. Certainly from the pulpit, it helps to have an engaged congregation. But I think the other aspect is that spiritual leaders have a chance to be in the room to make that influence, like you're saying. That's something that I've seen in real time. It's a powerful moment when, and pardon the way this may sound like a bad joke, but when a Baptist preacher, a rabbi, and an imam get into a room with a leader, it's an impactful moment for that person. We've seen that not only in regards to the jobs and the economy, but in helping to deal with issues of public safety, transportation, and so it becomes critical.
Right, and time permitting, I want to get into some of those issues, but I do want to take a call at 412-246-2002 from Gail on the West Side. Gail, we're kind of pressed for time, so if you can make your point as quickly as possible, we'd appreciate it. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you. Great. Just curious because I was at a meeting not long ago, and I think it was a Black Women Caucus meeting. And, of course, we had the city officials there, and they asked a question. They did make a statement. They said, well, White Pittsburgh, we want you to know that you're moving Black Pittsburgh out of the city. And when I see three or four blocks of housing tore down and made room for the animals, I'd like to know the answer to that question. What are they doing? I mean, what is this all about? Because most people can't afford.
Okay, let's talk about that. Pittsburgh is seeing a surge in trendy neighborhoods. It's coming at the expense of many lifelong residents who are now being pushed out of their homes. This is something that we again, are aware of. We've discussed it on this program. So when we look at what was discussed at the August Wilson Center earlier and this report, Pittsburgh That Works for Working People, how does this address that problem? And Sam, you look like you're ready to answer that.
Sure. So that's a very complex housing situation in Pittsburgh, and absolutely right. We all know that there are neighborhoods in Pittsburgh where longtime residents are getting pushed out of our city and having to move into inner ring suburbs or move to places that they would rather not have to relocate to. Our members face it. Reverend Lyde's congregation sees it in Homewood on a regular basis. We all feel it. The question is, what do we do about it? And the recommendations in this report actually track pretty closely with the recommendations of the city's Affordable Housing Task Force, which are, I think, due to be released on Friday of this week, and includes things like strengthening tenant protections and making and educating tenants about their existing rights so that we can avoid a repeat of the crises that we saw in places like Penn Plaza, where two things came together to create that crisis. One was the fact that people were being removed from their houses with almost no notice, and the second was that there was not aren't enough places for people actually to relocate to, because we have a huge deficit of affordable housing in Pittsburgh. So we can strengthen tenant protections and make sure that there are minimum notice requirements if a large landlord is going to displace large numbers of people in a situation like that. One of the recommendations of the task force that's echoed in this report is to create an affordable housing trust fund and actually make sure that it is well funded so that there is a steady and reliable source of money in the city that can help us both build new stock of affordable housing and preserve and protect what is already here. So I think the what I took away from the report was really two things. One, it's good to know that Satya came in and provided a set of recommendations from a national perspective that is very similar to what our task force here in Pittsburgh came up with. And two, it's going to take a whole set of these to deal with the complex challenges and problems that we face in affordable housing. It's not just one of these things is going to help us make sure that Pittsburgh can remain a place that is livable for everyone and not just for a few of us.
Another recommendation concerns creating city-specific policies to improve community-police relations. And you started to allude to that a few minutes ago, Reverend Lyde. So what are the recommendations that are in that report to address that particular issue?
So in the report, which I think builds on some momentum that we've had in the city, has to do with data. It's how we collect data in terms of the interactions with police in the community, because a policy has to be driven not by anecdotes or stories about interaction, but policing has to be informed by good policy, and policy is undergirded by good data. And so that's one of the powerful recommendations that is coming out of this report. I have to echo back to something that we were able to do through Penn and in coalition with many organizations across the city when our new chief came about a couple of years ago. We found some space in agreement in terms of what he wanted to see in implementing and changing the police force, especially in terms of interaction with the community, African-American community. And so in that regard, one of the commitments that we got from the chief was to make sure that data was driving what policing was going to look like. Now, we do have some ways to go because it has to filter down from the chief to the rank and file. But I think important in that is that what we need to recognize is that change does happen over a period of time, but data helps us get there. And the CALS report helps us to make sure that not just what we're seeing in terms of the anecdotal stories, but more importantly, that what are the best practices across the country and even our own city that will help us get to a place where police community relations are healthy and that police are part of the community and not simply agents to help enforce.
We've just about come to time for this segment, but I do want to address the recommendations for transportation. People need let's also take a call here because we've got William from Lawrenceville who wanted to address some of these earlier topics, and then we'll get to transportation. William, hi. Again, we're pressed for time, so if you can get to your comment or question quickly, we'd appreciate that. Welcome.
Certainly. Thank you. So just briefly, I wanted to mention that, of course, one issue that can't be addressed by increasing transportation is a lot of jobs are moving out of the city center. So having transportation out to the outlying communities is almost an issue that's a non-starter. One of the things that we need to look at is keeping these good jobs in the city. That way, we don't have to invest millions, potentially billions, in trying to get people out of the city just to get to work. It's a big barrier that we need to find a way to overcome.
That's a great point, and that's one of the things that is addressed in the report is that not only is job creation important, but you have to make sure that people can get to their jobs in an affordable and reasonable way.
Yeah, exactly. And, one of the things that was interesting to me in the report is that while the report recognized that we're doing a lot right in terms of transit in Pittsburgh and making sure that we're supporting multimodal transportation, when you overlay the cost of transit with the cost of housing, you begin to get a truer and somewhat more frightening picture of the number of people and the number of places in which people are truly cost burdened across our region. And as displacement happens, as people move from East Liberty out into Penn Hills and further out, their housing costs might stay the same or go down a little bit, but their transit costs increase, and that creates an even greater challenge for them. So one of the things that's recommended is that we look at ways to shift the cost burden of transit and do what a bunch of other cities have done and make sure that low-income workers have access to affordable transit and that, you know, we're providing subsidies to low-income workers to make sure they can get to and from work without having to be cost burdened not only by the cost of their housing but also by the cost of transit.
Yeah, transit's not cheap. No. Whether you're riding the T or the bus, it's a challenge for some folks. Unfortunately, we've come to time for this segment, but I want to thank both of our guests for an interesting conversation. Sam Williamson is the Western Pennsylvania Director of the Local Service Employees International Union, and also Reverend Rodney Lide. He's President of the Pennsylvania Interfaith Impact Network and pastor of Homewood Baptist Church. Gentlemen, thank you both for being with us. We appreciate it.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Coming up, we'll meet one of the honorees at this year's tribute to veterans. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.